Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
I'm really glad that you're here. I'm grateful that you're here, and I'm thankful that we get to worship in this place week after week. If you have your Bible, would you take it and open it to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, is going to be on page 1016. If you don't have a Bible, come see me in the Home Life Center when we're finished here in a few minutes this morning. I'd love to give you a copy of the Bible for your very own. Would love the opportunity to meet you. If you're visiting today, thanks for being here. I know Kelly mentioned earlier a little connect card. Fill that out if you haven't had an opportunity to do so before we leave this morning. Come give it to me. I'd love to meet you and put a name and a face together. If you're like, ooh, I'm not ready to do that yet, I kind of want to just remain anonymous, that's great. We're glad that you're here. You can just leave that connect card right in your seat, and I'd love the opportunity just to pray for you this week. 1 Peter chapter 5. I just want to read this passage of scripture together with you, because it's a powerful blueprint. It's a powerful game plan. It's a powerful glimpse into the heart of God for His church, for His people. And it talks about elders. It talks about a group of leaders given the responsibility to lead His church and lead His people. Every time in the scripture, unless it's speaking about a specific elder, it's always talked about in the plural. God's desire for His church is that it wouldn't be all resting on one person, but that there would be a plurality of leadership. There would be multiple voices. Why? Because we need to hear different perspectives. We need to have good accountability. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And so God never intended for His church to just be led by an individual. He's always intended for there to be multiple people around the table leading, praying, giving input, giving wisdom, giving direction. Think of a yoke, like of oxen, you know, when they would harness up oxen and they would put a yoke on them. The yoke is really meant to distribute the weight of the one doing the work. And if a yoke fits well, man, that weight, that work is evenly distributed, and it's so much more effective, so much more efficient. And so keep those images in mind as we read this passage, and notice something in here. It not only talks about the elders shepherding, leading, speaking into, giving direction, it also talks about those who are coming up in their faith, the younger ones. And there's certainly a place for both in God's church. So let's read God's word together, beginning in verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed." Aren't you ready for that day? Man, yes. No more news cycles. "As well as for a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed." Verse 2. "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." Verse 4. "And when the chief shepherd appears," who's the chief shepherd? Jesus. Jesus. "When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger," many believe that he's talking about younger in your faith, as well as just physically, age-wise younger. "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Boy, this is something for all of us here. Look at this. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Look at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Look at this invitation he gives to us. Casting all of your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who's called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And so, why do I want us to look at this passage today? Because I think it's important for us to remember that God's blueprint, God's design for his church and for his people are for there not to be just one voice being heard. And you hear me a lot. If you show up here week after week, you hear me a whole lot. Which, that's okay. That's part of my responsibility to be a primary teacher of God's word week after week. But if mine is the only voice you're hearing, we're not moving toward one of our other initiatives, which is shaping a healthy culture. What helps us to shape a healthy culture for this church, according to God's word, is that there is a plurality of voices that you're hearing. You're hearing from other leaders. You're hearing from some of our elders. And so periodically, what we want to continue doing is just allowing you to hear what God's been saying to some of our other leaders in our church. And so this morning, you're going to hear from two of our elders. You're going to hear from David Largent, and you're going to hear from John Perry. And so would you help me just to welcome David and Jay Largent? David and Jay are great, great, great leaders in our church. Here you go, David. It's ready to go. And David, won't you just share what the Lord's been laying on your heart? Jay and I are going to hang out right here behind you. We're supporting you. We're for you. And want to hear what the Lord's been saying to you.
A few weeks ago, when David asked me to say a few things to pray about it, one thing that came to my mind was relationships. And so I'm going to talk from my heart about my relationship with my wife. A few years ago, we decided to put Jesus in the center of our marriage. And so one of the things that came out of that, we're going to start tithing faithfully. And we started doing it, and it became easier and easier and easier. And when God provided for us over and over again, and we just couldn't believe it, how he blesses us so much. Were we scared at the beginning? You betcha. We were scared we were going to run out of money. And we had never run out of money. God provides. And so God tells us to trust him. So we're stepping out in faith. It wasn't easy sometimes, but we did it. God wants us to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's where it all starts, right there. He wants us to have a relationship with each other. He wants us to serve one another, to get to know each other, to get involved. One of the service things that I'm going to confess is a couple years ago, Jay says, we need to work in Awana. And my initial response, I'm kind of an introverted kind of guy. I didn't really say a lot. I thought, oh, okay, I'll try it out. And I was a little reluctant. And the reason I was reluctant was selfish pride. Because I thought, well, how am I going to watch football on Sunday afternoon if I've got to be at the church? And that bugged me. But I still did it. And the Holy Spirit worked on me. And finally, God said to me, what's more important, to teach first and second graders the Word of God or to watch a football game? Well, that was a pretty easy answer. So here I am. I believe that ARBC is a serving church. You can look right here in this piece of paper about Operation Christmas Child, Coach for Hickman Elementary, Thanksgiving dinner for ILT students, and Awana Thanksgiving pantry. There's a lot of things going on. I am learning as I serve more, it becomes more fun. It's not a drudgery or anything else. It's fun because you get to know people, you get to have relationships with people, and that's what God wants. But He wants us to first have a relationship with Him. If we serve and glorify God, we are going to receive blessings for obeying Him. And my wish, and I know God's wish, is for each person in this room, when they leave these doors, is to say with all courage and everything in their heart, Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And that's it.
Wow. Thanks so much, David. I appreciate you sharing this morning. Jay. I love David and Jay and just their example to us as leaders in our church. David is one of our new elders. And each Sunday morning, anybody's welcome to be a part of this. We meet right over in our library, which is just through those doors and to the right. And Jay is one of the people who are there each week. And we just pray before people gather here on a Sunday morning. And Jay, I'd love it if you'd just pray over our church this morning. I love what God's Word says so clearly in some other places about qualifications for elders and those who are leading. It talks about how important the spouse really is and how it's meant to be a team that's loving the Lord together, that's loving each other, that's loving their kids and their household. It doesn't have to be perfect, but man, there's a purpose. And there's an intentionality. And would you just pray over our church that we would be a people who are serving and loving one another and being in relationship with Him?
Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together with You. Thank You for being the sweet, sweet Jesus that You are, ever present, always listening, always there for us. Thank You for my David, the team member of my life. Thank You for this wonderful, wonderful church where You give us the opportunity to serve You, Lord, to glorify You, and to do Your will. Continue to mold us. Continue to show us exactly what You want us to be so that we can honor and serve You. Keep us humble. When pride comes in, throw it out. We do not need that. We need You, Lord Jesus, forever and always in Your great, great name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much. Would you help me just to encourage the largents again? Thank y'all so much for sharing. David is retired, and you'll see him up here if you stop by the church in the morning serving with our volunteers just around our facilities. Jay serves as a member of our stewardship committee and is in that unique role. One of the members of our stewardship committee also serves on our personnel just for some continuity, and Jay has taken that role on this year. So thanks so much for your service. I want you to hear from John Perry. John and Michelle, would you join me this morning? Would you help me to encourage the Perrys? Yeah. John and Michelle are also our point people for our Growing Strong Families initiative. And so as you have opportunities in your life and you're sitting there going, wow, okay, I think God wants us to be a bit more intentional. I think there's something that He wants me to do different in this season or whatnot. Michelle and John would be the people to connect with. And they normally are hanging out in our Home Life Center after the worship services. They can point you to resources out there. That's what is in the Home Life Center, are resources for your family in different seasons of life. They can help you purchase some different materials that may be specific to your particular needs or season that you're going through. And so use John, use Michelle as a sounding board, and they'll help point you in the right direction. John, why don't you share with us?
Well, he stole most of my thunder.
I didn't know what you were going to talk about.
But our heart here at Arapaho Road, we are so humbled to be a part of this church and that y'all have seen fit to put us in a role like this. Our desire is to strengthen the family, to disciple. You know, one of the four things that we talk about is to make disciples. But part of being a family is to disciple too. Whether that be spiritual mentoring one here through a life group, through individual study, or whether that be in the family context as a husband and wife shepherding children. Just those interesting conversations that you have in the pew during church. You know, I remember the twins witnessing, was it Lord's Supper or baptism?
Baptism.
And they were sitting there, I want to know more about this and tell them, watch and we'll talk about it later. And just seeing that opportunity arise at home. It wasn't Pastor David standing there or their life group teacher. It was Michelle and I taking the word of God, loving on our kids, and letting them know what God did for them, and watching them, and Evan too. Michelle had that opportunity of leading him to Christ. But even in our relationships here, we need to love one another. God said that's how we know, and others will know, that we will be disciples. Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but the salt has lost its taste. How shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for any except to be thrown and trampled under the feet of man. You are the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand to give it light to all the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father." May this just be our heart's cry that we are salt, we are light, and we need to encourage and edify, build each other up. It takes some vulnerability. Michelle and I are not perfect parents. We're not perfect Christians. We are just praying to God that we're doing the best that we can under His leadership, and we desire the same for you. That we will grow these strong families through our discipleship of one another and our families. So that is my desire for our congregation as we move forward, is having the vulnerability, because people will love to come in and they'll identify with us more because they see that we're being real with one another, that we do have broken hearts, that we do have broken areas in our lives, that we do need help, and that we're not afraid to ask for it.
John, thanks so much for sharing this morning. I'd love to just pray for you and for Michelle as our real point people who are helping us to grow strong families. You know, you said something that I really appreciate about how you sit down when your children are having questions. And I know that there are spiritual conversations that are happening around the table, and you're teaching them God's word. And some might be sitting here listening to that going, man, I don't even know where to start. I wouldn't even have a clue where to open the Bible and talk with my kids about that, whether your kids were, you know, 10 or 30. You never quit parenting. But what I hope that you'll begin to see, church family, and those who are visiting with us, is that if you don't know where to start, you don't have to be out there on an island. John and Michelle are great about coming alongside you, helping to put some resources in your hands that can help you begin to know where to talk in the Bible with your kids, how to begin to navigate that. And one of the things that I know that they would love to share more about is just how important it is to be in a life group. We call our Sunday school around here, if you've grown up in church and maybe you've heard the term Sunday school, smaller groups that gather together. John and Michelle are leaders in one of our life group areas. And if you need some help finding a place to begin to kind of kick the tires and see if this group might work for you, John and Michelle would love to help you find that right direction. I'd love to be a resource and help point you in the right direction. Everybody needs to be in a smaller group who can do life together and share those struggles that we go through and share in the joys that we experience as well. So, man, if you need some help in your family, and every single person in this room would go, man, that's for me. Know that John and Michelle are a great resource for you. Let's pray together, and let's just pray that the Lord would continue to work in our families. Lord, we love you. We're grateful for John and for Michelle. Thank you for their leadership. Thank you just for the way that you're working in their own marriage and in their own family. Lord, just a humble couple who desires to lead by example and to be intentional. Lord, you heard them confess, not perfect, but I also hear a purpose and a desire to be intentional. And I'm grateful for the way that they make themselves available to share best practices on how to do family and how to point others in the right direction. So, Lord, would you bless John and would you bless Michelle as they continue to lead in our family ministries? Lord, I pray that some conversations would begin because of their willingness just to stand before the church and say, we're here to help. We want to be there for others. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd grow strong families out of our congregation and that many, many, many people in our community would begin to leverage the resources that John and Michelle point people to. And Lord, that our families would indeed grow strong, that where healing needs to happen, it would take place, where brokenness has been an experience, Lord, that you would begin to put back together in ways that make sense. And so we just thank you for the Perrys and for the way that they're standing with families and leading with open hearts and open arms. I pray you'd continue to bless them in the days to come. In Christ's name, amen. Help me to thank John and Michelle for sharing a bit this morning, would you? Thanks so much. In that passage that we read a moment ago in 1 Peter, it talked not only about elders, but it also talked about some of the younger ones coming up. And one of the things that I'm just really, really grateful for, that God's been blessing with some younger ones in life and in ministry, is through our ministry residency program. If you're not aware of what that is, we have an opportunity to partner really with Dallas Theological Seminary. We've done some residence with Dallas, University of Texas at Dallas and Dallas Baptist University, but right now we have four residents who are all at Dallas Theological Seminary, and it's an opportunity for us as a church to rally around some that the Lord has called in some unique ways and who are in a season of preparing and training for ministry vocationally, what the Lord is leading them to. And at the same time, we get to be encouraged and have value added to our life with just a different perspective, a younger perspective. Most of our residents right now are in that millennial generation, so we're glad for that. It's always causing great conversations of, okay, how do we do that? How do we change that? What can we do differently? And so this morning, I wanted us not only to hear some perspectives from our elders, but also some of the stories from our ministry residents. And so I'm going to invite Dave Peters to join me up here first. Dave, come on up. Help me to encourage Dave Peters. Dave's been at Dallas Theological Seminary for a couple of years now. And Dave, I'd love for you just to share a little bit of your story. Tell us a little bit about where you're from, the Lord called you into a relationship with him, and just kind of a little bit of your perspective, your background. Let us know a little bit more about who you are and what you're focused on.
Okay, so I was actually, I was born in the U.S. in Liberal, Kansas in 1989, and when I was 2 years old, I moved to Canada, and I lived in various provinces all over Canada, and the most recent area is Ontario. Oh, and so I grew up to a believing home where both my parents loved the Lord a lot, and they served him faithfully, both in their stewardship and how they lived in relationship. But unfortunately, as a child, I mistook religion for relationship. And so I thought that going to church, reading the Bible verses, doing the prayers, that made me a Christian. And so I kind of faced a wall when I hit middle school, realizing that this religion thing wasn't doing it for me. And so I started to really challenge where my faith was, where I grew up with God, like, did God exist? I started exploring different perspectives. And long story short, I came to a place in my life around grade 10 in high school, and this was in Ontario, where I was saying to God that, God, you either exist or you don't. That either you show yourself to exist and that Jesus is the way, and I will be a hardcore Christian for the rest of my life. But if you never show up, then I will be a hardcore atheist for the rest of my life. If, like, that's where I had come to mentally and intellectually and experientially. So as I went into it, nothing happened. There was no, like, divine angel who came and showed himself, and I just went on with life, becoming more and more convinced that God was not real and his existence didn't matter. But then one day I went to church, and this was mentally in my head the last time I was going to go to church. I had a group of friends, and they were atheists and agnostics, of people who just didn't believe in God. And I was very sure that, like, this was the real thing. This atheist thing was the way to go. Oh, and I remember being very depressed, very angry, very upset. It had been a hard week at high school. Oh, I went to the service, and it was just like a service just like this. There was a worship leader. He was singing a song. For the life of me, I cannot remember when this was, like, what the song was. This was in 2005. I was sitting in the very back pew, and the Holy Spirit just came on me very strongly. And my first two thoughts were, one, I'm going crazy. I've lost my mind. And because I was feeling joy, I was feeling peace, I was feeling calmness, but at the same time, I was also feeling guilt for the weight of my sin. I was just like, I'm insane, I'm going to have to go to some mental asylum or something like that. Like, that was my first thought. My second thought was, this is exactly what you're looking for. This is that question being answered. And I got up from where I was, went to the very front of the service. Again, there's no, like, altar call of, like, if you're feeling Jesus, come forward. I just went forward. I got on my hands and knees as a grade 10 kid trying to be like, I'm trying to be this high school cool kid. And it was just like, no, I threw that out the window really quickly. And I just bawled my eyes out like a baby. On that ground, I recognized that Jesus was my Lord and Savior, or that he had called me to relationship with him. And this was beyond the prayers, beyond reading the Bible, beyond the showing up to church and doing this pew thing. But it was actually living in a living, breathing relationship with God and the Holy Spirit, and that Jesus was that bridge, and he had made that possibility open to me.
Wow, that's awesome. Would you share just a little bit, what's the ministry residency been like for you, and what areas are you focusing on right now?
The ministry residence for me has been a really just practical, experientially driven, and perspective. It's just like, I grew up in the church. I've worked in different ministries, of campus ministries, but one thing I've never done is I've never seen the inside of a church and how the rest of the church goes. I've seen this side a lot, but I didn't see the behind the scenes. And that's what, like, Pastor David, Pastor George, Pastor Dan have been very gracious in, and letting me step into different areas of the church, but under a guided supervision and under a learning, allowing me to kind of just make my mistakes, but also challenging me to learn and grow in different perspectives. And my two main areas are working with the young singles, young college and career group, age 20 to 30s, is people in this walk of life. And I was being given the opportunity to start a Bible study and a life group with them, which has been really great and very experientially awesome. And then the other side is working with adult life groups and working closely with George and a couple other our directors from the church to just kind of learn how to lead in the congregation with a very different perspective from staff other than just being a volunteer or things like that, which is a really great and awesome experience. But it just the church has been wonderful in letting me see a lot of different areas.
Dave, we're really glad you're here. Would you help me to just encourage Dave for being a part of our team? Thanks, man. Appreciate you. I'm going to invite one of our other residents up, Zion Gosselin. Zion is one of our newer residents. He and his family are from the Philippines, and an amazing story of how they came to the United States and came to us here in Dallas, in the Dallas area, from Queens, New York. There we go. From Queens, New York. And Zion, just share a little bit about your story, about your family, and what it is that God's doing with you during this season of your life.
Yes. So I'm from the Philippines, and I was born there. My dad's a pastor, my mom's a teacher. And, you know, I came to know Christ when I was 5 years old. But at, I think that time I didn't fully understood the meaning of, you know, the gospel and what Christ has done for me. So when I was 10 years old, we had our family devotion. And that was the night when, during that time, I was also, you know, starting to, you know, think about, you know, heaven and hell. I was like, you know, I don't want to go to hell. I was, you know, that time, that young age, I was like, I was scared. And it was timely when my dad, that night, my dad asked us, my siblings and I, he asked us, Zion, do you already know where you're going to go when you die? I was like, no, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. And I told my dad, I'm scared that I might go to hell. And that night, my dad again shared to me the gospel, and he told me about, you know, what Christ has done for me and how, you know, Christ died for my sins and I need him in my life. And that night I reassured myself and trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And from that day on, you know, the Lord slowly worked in my life, and I became part of the youth group at my church. It's called Bible Club, and that's where I grew as a Christian. And there, the Lord slowly molded me and directed me. And you know, after high school, I decided to go in the Bible school and study. To go to the Bible school. And I went to Word of Life in the Philippines. And Word of Life is actually around the world. And there, that's where I really saw God's calling in my life. And there, God just worked in my life. And I saw that, you know, I finally, you know, realized God is calling me in the ministry as a pastor. And he gave that desire in my heart. And, you know, slowly my gifts, he started developing my gifts. And I slowly, you know, understood his word even more. And slowly came to know Christ even more. And then after that, I was able to study in Word of Life for 2 years. And after the second year, that's when God called the family, my dad, to go to New York and to be the associate pastor of one of the churches there in New York, in Queens. And there, it was a big move for us. It was the first time I really moved out of the Philippines, and it was a big move, you know, culture shock. And I grew up most of my life in the Philippines. I was already 18 years old when I went to New York, and it was a big move, but it was also, you know, a big blessing for us. And we never imagined that the Lord will bring us to the U.S., to New York. and it was, you know, as a Filipino, it's not easy to come to the, you know, come to the States. And actually, we tried to come to the States 4 times. We applied 4 times and got denied 4 times. But, you know, I think it's just God has his own time, timetable. And, you know, at the last, I think the 5th time, I heard after the 4th time or like the 4th time, that's like, you know, that's it. They won't be able to, they won't, you know, let you in anymore for some reason. But I think after that, the 4th time, we decided to go again and try it one more time. And that was already the end of my 2nd year in the seminary, in Bible school. And by God's grace, you know, he just opened the door and approved, you know, our papers. And then after a month, we were able to go to the U.S., to New York. And so it was a big move. It was a big blessing. And we never imagined, you know, us from the Philippines, just going around the Philippines, following my dad, you know, and as a pastor's kid, it was hard from going from the northern part of the Philippines to the southern part of the Philippines, and then moving to a different culture, going to New York. But God is good, and I saw that God's hand was really guiding me, guiding my family, and it was a big blessing. And also, when I went to in the Bible school, that's when I saw my our guest lecturers came from Dallas Theological Seminary, and that's when, you know, when I was sitting there, I remember as a student, I was like, I want to go there someday. I want to study there, and I never imagined that the Lord will just answer my, you know, my desire, answer my prayer.
Yeah.
And that's why when we came to New York, took my bachelor's, I finished English, bachelor's in English, and after that I decided, you know, my desire is to really serve the Lord and, you know, serve him as a pastor someday. And I decided, let me try DTS. Because, you know, that's where I wanted to go when I was back in the Philippines. And I tried it. I had some problems. But by God's grace, everything went well. And I was able to come here. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know anyone. You know, I came here by myself. And it was also the first time I've been away from the family. And it was a big move for me, another, you know, chapter in my life. But it's really, again, it's all by God's grace that, you know, I'm here right now and, you know, standing here, and it's a blessing, and even to be part of this church.
Yeah. Zion, as I've gotten to know him and hear his story, this young man is a perseverer. He finds a way to do what God's calling him to do. He's not afraid to work. You've got like 3 jobs going right now. And it's all because he wants to fulfill the call that God has on his life. And so, Zion, we're so glad that you're a part of our team in this church. Zion is going to be working closely with Dan Lyles and our Arapahoe Road Kids Ministry and working with our family ministries. I'm really, really grateful for the way that he brings a different perspective, just as Dave does. And then in the coming weeks, I'm going to interview Kevin and Emily Kusinoki, two of our other residents. And they all bring unique perspectives. They all bring unique gifts and talents. And as we have the opportunity to invest in them as young leaders, they are adding so much value to our church. And I'm really, really grateful for you. Each one of our residents serves in a 6-month capacity. The church gives $2,500 toward their seminary education, and the residents, each resident serves 20 hours a week in ministry here. And so they're a part of our staff and a part of our team, and I have the privilege as one of the leaders in their life to have one-on-one mentoring with each one of our residents in 30-minute blocks every single week. And we talk about anything anything they want to talk about. And so the hope is that we're coming alongside these that God's called into vocational ministry, and we're able to send them and launch them and be a part of what God's going to do in and through their lives throughout the rest of their days. And so just so glad that you're here. I want to ask our residents to join me, because I want us as a church family to pray for them. So Dave, would you join me? And then Kevin and Emily, would you join us as well? We're going to hear your stories in the coming weeks and get to know a little bit more about you. But I want you just to lock into these four young leaders. We're recruiting some additional residents at this time as well. And so be praying as the Lord leads others into our lives and into our team. This is Emily and this is Kevin, newly married. So especially be praying for them. They're figuring out what it's like to be newlyweds and to do seminary and to serve on a church staff and to have lives and all that stuff. So when you figure that out, let me know, because I'm excited to hear the pathway to do that. But man, really love these four and so grateful for each one of them. If you're able to, would you just stand right where you're at and let's just pray for these residents. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for the way that you're working in the lives of our ministry residents. We're grateful for Dave and for Zion, for Emily and for Kevin, and the way that you've called them and the way that they are so willingly pouring themselves out as a part of this church and the way they're investing in so many different areas. Lord, I'm grateful that Kevin and Emily are serving in our student ministry and some other different perspectives that they give their attention to. I know Emily's going to be working with our computer ministry or our website and with our social media. Lord, I know Kevin's got his hands in so many different ministries here, from our worship team that produces the technology, and Lord, certainly with working closely with George and some different administrative areas. Lord, for Zion and the way that he's serving so faithfully in our family ministry. He's going to be working with Dan and really being a great asset to that team. And Lord, for Dave as he's serving in our life groups and with our 20s and 30s, and then Lord, just with a broader perspective as well. So thank you for the way that you're using them. Thank you for the way they're continuing to recruit others to be open to joining our team. Lord, we want to be great for you, and we want to invest in these that you're calling and to be a part of their lives and to be a part of the ministry that you're going to lead them to. Lord, what a great opportunity that we can be a church family around them, to love them, to pray for them, to encourage them, and to build relationships with them during this season of their life. We pray you'd honor them and bless them and prepare them for all that you have all the days of their life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And church family said,
thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.